Good morning, good morning. It's so good to see you in church. Welcome. My name is Josiah. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House for one church in many locations, Fullerton, online, Irvine, and Espanol, and soon coming where? Come on, give God a hand clap. Welcome to our Irvine campus. What's up, Irvine? And just want to let you know, today I'm going to be doing a double video or live because I'm going to be speaking at our Espanol campus, but I will be there next Sunday, Irvine, to see you in person. But I can see where you're at. Look at second row. What's up, Albert? You're right there. And what's up, Pastor Brian in the back? Gabriel, I can't really see, but it's prophetic. All right. But anyway, welcome, everybody. Come on, isn't going to be in church today? Great to be in church. Well, I'm excited to start a new series as promised, so let's jump right in. Grab your Bibles and your message outline as you remain standing, and go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. And we're going to begin a new series as promised today entitled God First. Someone say, God First? Let me make some merch, God First merch, you know what I mean? But God First, because here's the whole premise of this series. We live in a generation that wants to make God a part of their list when it needs to be priority on the list. And I want to read you to hear this in Matthew 6:33, because blessing comes upon your life, not when he's second, not when he's third, only when he's what? First. And here's how the Bible reads. It says, but seek last. That's not what it says. Come on, somebody. What does it say? Seek what? Seek first the kingdom, his kingdom, I apologize, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And the Bible says that we need to seek God's kingdom first, but what happens in our generation is we seek things first. And if you seek things first, you'll miss the kingdom. But God says if you seek his kingdom first, he'll add all the things. And so we want to get this right, because in this series, we're going to talk about the four areas. And I want you to picture like a house, right? Because the year of kingdom expansion. In each pillar, we're going to say we're going to put God first so that we have a strong foundation. We're going to put God first in our faith. We're going to put God first in our finances. We're going to put God first in our family. And we're going to put God first in our future. And I believe when you put God first, you will never be last. If you believe it, say amen. And so we're going to do this God First series. And Sunday morning, you put God first. Sunday is the first day of the week. It's not the last day of the week. And so when you put God first, the rest will be blessed. I want to talk to you today, God first in our kingdom finance. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning because, God, this is why we come to church. We don't come to church to check someone's outfit out. Come on, somebody. We don't come to church to any other reason but to put you first. And I know, God, that as we put you first in our home, we put you first in our life, we put you first in our finances, we put you first in our faith, in our family, that the rest will be blessed. Because, God, you are priority. So, Heavenly Father, speak to us today, God. Encourage us and build us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God one more hand clap. You may be seated and tell two people around you, say, put God first. Tell them to say, put God first. That's right. And then say, and you'll never be last. That's right. Because, you know, the temptation is to have God just be on the list. But the truth is, God doesn't want to be on your list. He wants to be first on your list. Because the very fact of who God is, his essence, he cannot be second. Like, he can't. You understand what I'm saying? Either he's first or he's not on the list. Ooh, we're coming out hot right out the gate here. Okay. Because he's God and he will not be second to anything. And when you see the word first, my opening thoughts, anytime I start a new series, I always got some opening thoughts as I've been preparing for months. And then I just go like, take a drink out of a fire hydrant. Shh. Okay. But I want to talk about how first, if you're writing notes, this is not your first point. But when it says seek first the kingdom, it actually means priority. Priority. In other words, God is priority. Say what we say, God's priority. And when he's priority, as I was talking a couple weeks ago, he becomes the foundation. So we often say the top of the list, and my wife always makes fun because I go, the top of the morning, right? It's not that he's like here, it's that he's the first on the foundation. He's first. He's the very first thing. And there is no greater foundation than Christ. There's no greater foundation than God. You can try to build your life on putting other things first, putting a person first, putting yourself first, putting your temptations first, putting experiences first, and all of that will never establish your life. When I talk to people, I always say, you never build your life from the top down, you build it from the bottom up. And if you got big dreams, I wanna do big things, that's great. You'll never get something big if you don't have a big foundation. And the devil loves seeing people build a big life only to see it crumble and fall. Why? Because he fell. He was at the top and he fell to the bottom. Enemy loves seeing people rise to the top only to fall to the bottom. But with God, you don't just go to the top. You go from the glory to glory, from strength to strength. Come on, the head and not the tail. Say amen. That's why we got to have God first. And so it's a thing of priority. So let me say priority. And the Bible starts in the first four words. This is how the Bible starts. And if you get these four words correct, everything else will be correct. So everybody grab your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis 1:1. Go to Genesis 1:1. That's like page 2 in the Bible. So I know you can find it. You're like, where's the book of Genesis? After the book of table of contents, you just turn the page. Genesis 1:1, okay. I want you to see these four words. If you can get these four words correct, the rest of life makes sense. Are you ready? All together, we're going to read like a big family and a big choir. I can hear you, Irvine, all the way from over there. So let's read it together. Genesis 1:1. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Bible says, in God. Stop. In the beginning, God. Stop right there. If you get those four words correct in your life, the rest will be blessed. In the beginning, God, you're first. In the beginning of my relationships, God. In the beginning of my family, God. In the beginning of my day, God. In the beginning of my finances, God. In the beginning, God. But where we mess it up is we don't put God at the beginning. We try to get him at the end when it's all messed up. But if I start with God, then it's going to be built by God. It's going to have God as a foundation, and God will create it into perfection and blessing. Say amen. In the beginning, God. And what this is, it's a priority thing. It's a priority. God, you are first. God, you are first. Say it with me. Say, God first. Because what do you put first every day? Let me get my phone. I'm coming at you. What do you put first every day? Wake up. Let me check my phone. It got quiet in this Christian church. Let me see what's first. Oh, yeah. Oh, what do you know? Instagram. Oh, okay. Facebook. Oh, yeah. You go, oh, wow. She made those nice breakfasts for her kids. I don't make no breakfast. They're going to get yogurts, go-gurts. Here you go. And you're like, man, sucks. Next one. Wow. Wow, they're working out. I'm still in bed. I'm working out. And guess what you put first? You put comparison first. You put discouragement first. Insecurity first. And we wonder why we're discouraged. Because you put in everything else first. And you're putting you're in Facebook, we should put your face in his book. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hey, whoa. What? Oh, Snapchat. Come on now. It's like, but that's how we get ourselves in trouble. In the beginning, God. If you can get, listen, those first four words right, the rest of your life will be blessed. But what ends up happening is we don't put God first. We put him like a real high second best. And somehow we think that's permissible. Okay, where are all my married people at? Married people, where are you at? Married people. Oh, woo! We just came up with a marriage conference. Come on, woo! Shoo! This is how I fight my battles. If you weren't there, you don't know what I'm talking about. You missed out. You don't even know idea what I'm talking about. Every married couple was listening to that jam. They're like, praise God. You had to be there. But let me tell you what we should celebrate really quick. Side note, squirrel, I'll come back to the main point here. But let me tell you what we celebrate. We had nearly 200 married couples sold out, getting built up in Christ, their love. That's why we need a bigger building. I mean, there were tables on stage. I mean, it was packed out all over this place. Maybe not that. The front section was like the splash section. I preached, and they were just like 4D, and I was getting baptized. But amazing, because when a marriage gets better, the whole family gets better, okay? You want to change? Some people say, help the kids. You want to help the kids? Help the people that are raising the kids. That's how we're going to help the next generation. Come on, say amen, 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 okay? And anyway, so back to the regularly scheduled sermon here. And so married folks, okay, Here's the point. Can you imagine, ladies, if your husband said, you know, honey, you're like a really high second. I could feel it. Ladies are like, what'd you say? Shink. And I mean, like, no, listen, you're like a high second, like a really high second in my life. Would that be acceptable? You'd be like, that's disrespectful. What do you mean I'm a high second? Either you want to leave. Okay, let's flip it. Fellas, what if your wife told you, you know, babe, you're the man, babe. You're a high second, like a really high second. What would you say? You'd be like, excuse me? I know you ain't talking to me like that, right? Why do we think that's acceptable with God? We say, God, you're like a real high second. And we think God should be happy with, like, oh, I'm a high second. Wow, thank you that I could be a high second in your life. If it's not acceptable in your personal relationships, it's not acceptable in our heavenly. Come on, somebody, come on, clap. God says either he's first or he's not at all on your list. And I know that may be hard for some of y'all, but that's Bible talk. That's, and I love you enough to tell you, I'd rather hit you with the truth than kiss you with a lie. Because you will not be better for that. And we have a generation that's like, why am I not blessed? Because you keep putting God a high second when he needs to be first. Your family is outside the blessing of God because he's just a high second, not first. Your finances don't have the blessing of God because he's a high second, not the first. It's getting quiet up in here. Your future is not because he's an option instead of the main course. Okay, God, we treat God like an avocado. It's like, you just put some avocado on, it'll be good. God's like, I'm not avocado, I'm the ribeye steak. Hello, somebody. Okay, vegetarians, I'm offending you. Oh my God. I love animals, it just tastes good too. I'm sorry, just kidding. Okay. Don't email me, okay? Email I don't care at thefreedomhouse.org. They go to all go to Pastor Brian, Pastor Louis. Just joking, okay. I don't know, whatever you like. I don't know. Almond milk or something, just in the center. I have carrots. I don't know. Okay. We preaching avocados today. Let's go. Like, he's not, we treat him like he's just, it's just, if you put a splash of God on it, it'll be better. Just a little splash of God. You know, put a little avocado, a little splash of God, and a little splash of God on my family, a little splash of God on my finances. You know, I mean, I'll give him a little tip, you know, look, here you go, like a little $20, Lord. Here you go. I mean, thank you, Lord, for your service, Lord. You know, yeah, you know. Getting quiet up here, right? You know, here you go. I'll give you a little bit of my faith, a little bit of my future. I'll see you once in every 6 months. Don't say 2 months. If I have time, if I'm not busy on a Sunday, I'll just go worship you. Here's a little splash. You're a high second, Lord. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness to be in right standing. And all these things. God says, if you put me first, come on, somebody. He says, if you put me priority, that's how kingdom expansion comes. Say amen. And so these are the areas we put them first. Now, there are different areas that we all struggle with, all of us in this room, okay? So everybody, but it has to be intention. It's the difference, write this down, between choice and decision. Choice and decision, okay? Choices don't change you, decisions change you. You can make a mental choice, but not actually a physical decision. What is that? What is it? What's the difference between a choice and a decision? You can say, Lord, I choose to serve you, but a decision, the root word, I'm into etymology, I'm a word nerd, I'm a speaker, so that's what I do. And so decision, the root word is it's an incision, it's to cut. It's an incision. Like, when you make a decision, you cut something off. You have not really decided until you cut something off. It is, I made an incision, like a cut. And so in order to decide, not just a mental choice, that's why some people, it's because you've chosen it, but you haven't decided with your life, is what have you cut out? What have you said, you are not first, you're first? Like this morning, you had to carve out time to come to church. It wasn't a choice. Everybody says, I'm going to go. But this morning, you made a decision. You cut something out and you put him in. So you're like, Super Bowl, don't start till 3. Just be in church. Be like, I gotta get ready for the party. And I said, like, okay, at least put it online. Come on, somebody, worship. Be like, I am worshiping. No, you're making taco salad. Worship the Lord. Amen. Come on, somebody. You know? Put some avocado in it. No, I'm joking. All right. So, listen. Focus, Josiah. I'm trying. This is putting God first. So someone say God first. Okay, one more thing. Write this down, then I'm going to give you these points, okay? Because we got to put God first. He cannot be an add-on. He must be the centerpiece. Now, there are two types of promises. Just write this somewhere in your notes. That's not your first point. Again, opening thoughts. There are unconditional promises and conditional promises. Unconditional and conditional promises in the Bible. There are two promises. An unconditional promise is God will do this without conditions. For example, the love of God. God unconditionally loves you. There is, no matter what you do, you could be the worst sinner on death row, God still loves you. It's the unconditional promise of God. He loves you. But the conditional promise of God is he'll only bless your obedience. You understand what I said? So God will not bless your disobedience, because where are all my parents at? How many know parents that we don't reward our children's disobedience? Because if reward their disobedience, they'll think that disobedience is permissible. So when they disobey, we say, I'm not rewarding that. I'm going to withhold my blessing. I love you, but I ain't rewarding that. The Heavenly Father is the same. He says, I love you, but I'm not rewarding if you don't obey me and put me first. If you don't trust me with your finances, I'm not going to bless you. If you don't put me first in your morning, you don't put me first in your family, you don't put me first in your future, God says he won't bless disobedience, because then you will think disobedience is okay. And I call it the Christian frustration. The Christian frustration is this: God, how come I'm not blessed? It's because you're not putting him first. God will bring his provision wherever there's priority. I'll say it one more time. God will bring provision wherever there's priority. Everybody says, God, would you bless me? God, would you? And God's like, I'll bring it if you give me priority. It's putting him first. It's honoring him in the first place of our life. In every area, in one of those areas that so many Christians is hard, an area is area of finance. It's honoring him first with the tithe. It's saying, God, you're first. You're first in my life. And it's okay. Listen, how many of you want to be blessed this year? Okay, that was weak. That was weak. How many this year, okay, let me put it like this. Who wants to make less money this year? Because you could just give it to us if you want. Right? Nobody clapped. Who wants to get a raise this year? Who wants debt elimination this year? Who wants to, okay. Now, let me just answer the question, because there's always like a few haters. If you're not in the room, I'll find you in a second. It's not that prosperity gospel. There's no other gospel. There's only one gospel. Jesus died. He was buried, he rose again, and he's coming soon. That's the gospel. Say amen. There's only one gospel, okay? Period, okay? But God blesses his children when you honor him. But there's so many believers, they want God's blessing, but they don't want to put him first and obey him. They pray for provision, but they don't give him priority. It's getting quiet in this Christian church. Amen. Read through the Bible. Every time you see God's provision, is you see priority. Remember the widow woman who made the cake, and the prophet says, first give it to me, and then you'll be blessed. And you imagine today people say, he'd be on the front page of the newspaper, and they'd be like, you know, prophet asked person to give their last cake for the work of the Lord. But God was saying, no, when you sustain what God is doing, God says, I'll sustain what you're doing. And then that person gets blessed. Remember the kid that brought the snack pack, right? The goldfish, right? The snack that comes back, goldfish. And so he brought a snack pack, right? The five fish, the fish and the two loaves. And when he brought them, and then Peter came like Debo, yo, give me your lunch. That's my lunch, huh? You know what I mean? And so he took his lunch, and he didn't take it, but you know, he gave his lunch, and the little kid gave his lunch. God multiplied it, and because he prioritized Jesus, then provision came, and his lunch became leftovers and fed 5,000 people. Why? Because wherever there's priority, God brings provision. Read the whole Bible, y'all. God will do that. And this is an area God wants to bless, but you're going to have to put him where? First. And these are conditional promises. Why? Because God cannot bless disobedience. Matter of fact, he won't bless disobedience. So we need to come into a side. So here are seven blessings of putting God first in your finances. Watch what the Word of God says. But point number one, write this down. God makes good things happen for the generous. Someone say good things. He makes good things happen. Psalms chapter 112 and verse 5. Here's what the scripture says. It says, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely and who conduct their affairs with justice. Someone say good. Someone say good things. How many want good things to happen to you this week? How many want good things to come to you this year? How many want good things to come to your family and to your home? The Bible says that good things, put the verse back up there, says come to those who are generous, who put God first. So watch this. For those people this week that you got some, if you're in business or you got some things going on, let me tell you something. You're going to see good things come. Why? Because you came and honored God first. This week, and I always love it when it comes to this. People say, I don't know why I chose you. I could have went with anybody. But there's just a reason why I chose you. You know, maybe you know, I still run my real estate company. I actually just closed a former gas station for a client. And I always love when they say, you know what? Even though the process was like hell, I just love that I worked with you. I said, I chose you. And I said, that's right, you chose me. Come on, somebody. Multi-million dollar project. I said, that's right. And so I was like, but good things come. Why? Because you're a generous person. And I declare you, that's why you ought to be excited to say on Sunday, I can't wait to honor God. Which, by the way, we're not receiving an offering, so everybody calm down. Okay, chill. Like, you're like, all right. Some of you are like uptight. You're revealing yourself, okay? Like, just be free, okay? Like it's okay. Loosen up a little bit, all right? You're showing the, you know, some of you like the Lord of the Rings, the Schmeagle. The precious is mine. I was like, chill, man, you know? It's the only way to kill greed is through generosity, just let you know. And you'll reveal your greed in a message like this. Because I'm reading you the Bible. That's all I'm giving to you, okay? Now, if God speaks to you and you need to honor God, then be obedient, right? But the point is, God blesses the generous. That's why I can't wait to honor you, put you first in my finances, God, because the promise is good things are going to come to me this week. And I declare that good things come. Come on, somebody. God's word to all of us. Say amen. Number two, write this down. God blesses the children of the generous. God blesses the children of the generous. Anybody want your children to be blessed? Any dads want their children to be blessed? Okay, that was weak, guys. We're going to jump you if you don't want your children. How many want your children to be blessed? That's right. Psalms chapter 37, verse 25. The Bible says, I was young, and now I'm younger. Just joking. I'm older. It says, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are, verse 26, they are always generous and lend freely, and watch this last sentence, their children will be a blessing. Them children are going to be blessed because you're a person that puts God first in your finances. Them kids will be like, I'm good. No, it's because I blessed you. The favor will come upon your children. Your children will walk in blessing. And I declare the Silva children and the Silva grandchildren, I don't have any yet, take your time, kids. Silva, one day the Silva grandchildren will be blessed. And you ought to declare that. How many want blessing on your children? I said, how many want blessing on your children? Every time that you give, put God first in finance. Every time you're generous, you involve God and you bring your tithe, your offering. Because what does it put first? It's honor him with your tithe. Every time you do that, blessing is coming upon your children. The favor of God. They'll be at school and they don't even know why they got chosen. They're going to go, and if they're older, they don't know why they got that job. And they don't know why opportunities came their way. It's because their parents are storing up blessing through generosity. Come on, somebody. Say amen, 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 amen. That's what the Bible says. The scripture declares it, that blessing literally overflows even to our children. Okay, number three, write this down. Seven blessings that come to generous people when we put God first in our finance. Number three, God blesses the work and the business of the generous. God blesses the work and the business of the generous. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 through verse 11, if you can put that up there for me, team. The Bible reads like this. I'm reading to you. Scripture says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Say with me, worship God with my wealth. Say, worship God with my wealth. Don't worship your wealth. Worship God with your wealth. People worship wealth. No, worship God with your wealth. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. It says, then, someone say then, your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats brim over with new wine. We'll stop right there. The Bible says that when you honor God with your wealth, watch what it says. You worship God. You say, Lord, you bless me. I now bring to you the first fruits. What's the first fruit? The tithe. And even offering, you go above that because God's been good to you. You honor God. It says that your barn's going to overflow. You're like, Pastor, I don't own a barn. Okay, we're talking about a barn. The barn is talking about your workplace. The barn is where they would milk the cows. The barn is where the hay is. The barn, it says, your place of business is going to overflow. Your investments will overflow. your business will overflow. Your workplace will overflow. Because God says, I bless those who worship him, not worship your wealth. God has no problem with you having things. He just doesn't want things to have you. Did you hear what I said? He has no problem with you having things. Go ahead. God's like, you have things. He just doesn't want you to have things. I'm sorry, he just doesn't want you to worship things. Because God, let me tell you something. This is gonna get some ruffle people's feathers, but I'm okay with it. God is the richest person you know. The Bible says he owns the world and everything in it. All the gold is his. All the silver is his. You know, the story of a guy who died, and he held on to gold bars before he died because he didn't want to lose it. He held on to it, and he actually snuck in gold bars to heaven. It's a made-up story. Okay, chill out. So he snuck in, and he got to the pearly gates, and he's holding on to gold bars. And Peter's like, why did you bring asphalt to heaven? Because the streets are made of gold. Come on, somebody. Come on. Amen. He's like, that's asphalt here, bro. Let that rock your mind. God has no problem with you. He doesn't want you to worship things. And how do you know? What did God institute to make sure you don't worship things? Generosity. Tithing. It's simple. If this frustrates you, you're revealing your own love for money. It got quiet up in this Christian church. I want you to break that off your life. That's poverty thinking. Poverty thinking is, if I release it, I won't have enough. Abundance thinking is, if I release it, God brings more. His blessing comes upon my life. That's abundance thinking. Okay? That's abundance thinking. And we are people that need to break that poverty. Because I remember when I first got saved, I grew up in poverty. I was raised on Section 8 housing. I mean, we were poor. We were so poor, we had to go to KFC and lick other people's fingers. I know, it's disgusting. Sorry. It's a joke, okay? I know, gross. But I got your attention. So anyway, we were poor. We didn't have no Nikes. We had Schnikes, y'all. You know what I mean? Like, talking about, yeah, man, y'all bougie. Y'all know nothing. Talking about Frosted Flakes. We put sugar in Corn Flakes and just shuck it like this. That's how we have Frosted Flakes, y'all, you know? Oh, you want cocoa chocolate Frosted Flakes? You get the Nestle Quick and throw a Nestle Quick up. Talk to me, somebody. Talk to me, real people. Y'all know nothing about rough times. You're talking about, I don't have an iPhone 15. Okay, God bless you. You'll be all right. But when I got saved and started trying to break that poverty thinking, like giving, I would withhold. I'd be like, no, because if I let it go, I won't have enough. And generosity breaks that poverty, I don't have enough thinking. It's God, I can't wait to bring to you a portion. You don't have to give it all away, but God requires this, but you honor me. And that teaches us, no, God, I'm building your house. God, I trust you. And then God says, I'll bring a blessing upon. Yeah, come on. You ought to clap right there. I'll bring a blessing upon it. He'll bless your business. You know, he'll tell you. He will bring opportunity. In business, so y'all know this. They always say it's all about timing, and it's all about the right place at the right time. Who else to bring in the right place at the right time but God? Yeah. Mr. Green, who's a mutual friend, he's the founder of Hobby Lobby. You know the place where y'all buy all those little trinkets and stuff like that? Mr. Green, respect that man of God, because this is what he says. He goes, every time he puts a new product out, he prays. And he says, Holy Spirit, tell me which product to put on the front display. And the Holy Spirit tells him. And he says, and every time I put that product, it's always the top seller. See, for some of you, that's too heavy for y'all. But when you understand that, when you honor God, this year Hobby Lobby will give over $100 million to churches, to Christian organizations. Come on, you ought to clap right there. Clap right there. Clap, clap, clap. And if you're like, wow, that's a lot. I would give $100 million if I made a billion. You don't even give God 10 off 100. Woo, it's getting hot in here. Come on. No, you wouldn't. Because if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. You can live on both sides that you want. If you want to live on the side that says, no, okay, well, Mr. Green, Hobby Lobby, they're on that side. I choose to live on that side. Because we all hear the story of, and there was a person who was praying, and as they had nothing in their hands, someone knocked on the door and brought them groceries, and God provided. And I love those stories. May that happen more often. But we always view ourselves as the people inside the house that provided. I want you to break poverty where you're going to view yourself as the person who knocks on doors. You didn't hear what I just said. You didn't hear what I just said. You're going to be the person knocking on doors because you're breaking poverty off your life. Your barns are overflowing and the blessing of God is on your life. Say amen. God, that's the person I want to be. I want to be a blessing. But God, I want to honor you in this area. And you need to multiply. And God bless your business. My wife and I, we have 12 streams of income. We did this last week. Thank you. Appreciate the bunch of haters. Thanks for the two claps. Amen. Praise God. I have 12 streams. So God has blessed my business for the past 3 years, my real estate, my investments, my portfolios. I've given my salary back to the church. So I'm a volunteer here. So if you don't like the sermon, too bad. I'm just serving. God bless you, okay? Okay. Now, nothing wrong with getting a salary as pastors get salary. The Bible says a worker's worth his wages. And my board says, well, we're still going to give it to you. And if you want to give it, that's up to you. I said, cool, here's a check. I give it right back. May I be able to do that for the rest of this history? Don't play chess yet, brother. Because then they'll think I'm finished. I'm not finished yet. And so, I probably could do that forever. But the point is this. You have to break poverty mindsets. That God, when you get behind what God's building, He will get behind what you're building. And you put Him first, come on somebody, you're going to see provision where He's priority. Your barns will fill to the overflow. When I get to point seven, you can play that piano, bro, okay? Because that means I'm done. I appreciate you. Proverbs 11:25 says a generous person will, come on, what generous person will what? Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. If you don't like the word prosper or prosperity, you're not going to like the Bible because it's all over the Bible, okay? In every translation, it's the word of God. It says generous people prosper, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 10, it says, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and what? And everything that you what? You put your hand to do. Everything you're typing, everything you're building, everything. He says, he'll put, why? It's the blessing of God where He's first, okay? Number four, write this down. God will return more to the generous. He'll return more to the generous because God will be in debt to nobody. He'll be in debt to anyone, okay? Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says, give and it will be what? Given to you, not taken, given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be what? Measured to you. Now, these are the red letters. I love that we use technology, media and all that. We put it up here, but this is actually Jesus speaking. So it's the red letters. Jesus is perfect theology, okay? Jesus is theology. He is the Word wrapped in flesh. When He speaks, this is God, okay? All canonization of Scripture is God-inspired. However, when it comes to the red letters, this is the very words of Jesus. And Jesus said, when you give, it will be given to you. Press down, shake it. And then He said, it will be poured into your lap. In other words, He will cause people to bless you. Let me tell you, and this way you know God's in it. People will be like, I don't know why I'm doing this for you, but I just feel like I have to give this to you. And they even, like, I don't know what time, I said in the earlier service, but I got a raise, and the manager was actually mad. He was like, back when I was working, now I run my own companies, but back then when I first got my first job working for my first investment firm, they're like, we're going to give you a raise. And it's just, we really shouldn't be doing this, but we just feel we need to do this. And then they're like mad, and I'm like, God will cause people to bless me. Somebody, He will cause. That's what the Scripture said. This is Jesus. So you, again, don't get mad at me. Take it up with Him. Don't throw a rock at me. Throw a rock at God, but you better run because it comes back down and it's going to hit you. Okay, so, all right. You can't throw rocks at God. Come on, somebody. Okay, Proverbs 11:24, it says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Proverbs 19:17, if you help the poor, you are lending to who? The Lord. He says, and He will what? He will repay you. God says, I'll repay you. And look at me. God has good credit. He's not a subprime God. Let's go, somebody. Come on, somebody. Okay? He's not a junk bond God. He's not a penny stock, the pink sheets, okay? He's a good God, right? He will repay you when we help the poor. And then as a church, that's why we help so many hurting people. This is a generous church. We adopted over 1,000 families. We've helped orphanages. We help with rescue homes. This is a generous church, y'all. We support Israeli missions. I can go down the list, all right, of all the things we do, the homeless. We call, and man, this next one, you better put your seatbelt on. You're going to fall off your chair. An organization contacted me, and this is what they asked. They said, because at our new building, we actually have 18-wheeler like bays for 18-wheeler trucks. It's a former Walmart. And they asked me, do you want to get rid of them? And I said, no, you know what? We may use them one day. I just said no, because they're drawing up the plans. Like, maybe we do like a baptism pool back here. And I was like, no, we might use it one day. I get contacted by a company. Okay, put your seatbelt on. It's an organization that says, we get all of the overage from big corporations when they change seasons and they want to give us charitable donations. I'm talking fridges, sofas, TVs. Like, watch this. This is going to get good, okay? I'm talking like stuff that can literally help hurting people. They said, however, we have one requirement, is that they're huge pallets and they come in 18-wheeler trucks. Watch this. They said, we heard you're getting a new Walmart. Do you have 18-wheeler bays? I said, oh, yeah, we do. We got two of them. They said, we're going to supply. You're going to bless the whole county. Oh, come on, somebody. Let's go, somebody. And bless. They go, done deal. I believe God says, because if I can trust you with a little, I will bless you with a lot. And y'all remember during COVID, remember we were giving toilet paper away? Because one of the guys that comes to our church, he oversees all the stadiums, the SoFi, the Staples, and all this. And he's like, we got all this toilet paper, you know, Pastor. And I said, yeah, let's do it. We're literally giving toilet paper, and people are crying, receiving Jesus. Thank you. I go, man, God will use anything. I mean, it's two ply. You know what I mean? I mean, God was even using one ply. You know, that was amazing. I mean, it was like sandpaper. Here you go, man. Careful. You know what I'm saying? It was a work. But we've been given, I believe the Lord says, I'm going to bless you for your house. I am telling you, this building that we're turning, God is so all over it that I'm honored to be a part of it. I'm like, I'm so in. I mean, we had a whole moment. We basically gave everything to God. Everything we had to put all our assets for this to happen. I don't care. God, this is yours, Lord. Everything. My real estate, it belongs to you, God. Come on, someone had a clap right there. God will repay those. Why? Because it's his house, right? It's the scripture. Say it's God's word. Amen. And so this is why you got to be. People say, well, I can't afford to give. I say, you can't afford not to give. Because you're trying to do life without God. And that's a tough place to do it, especially in finance. And as soon as you walk out these church doors, you'll be like, Lord, I got some needs. And God's like, I gave you a message. Lord, say God first. Number five, let me wrap this up. God meets the needs of the generous. God meets the needs of the generous. Proverbs, Philippians 4:7 says, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account, Paul writes. He says, verse 18, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. And now that I receive from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, he says, they're a fragrant offering acceptable to God, acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. So watch this. Your offering is a fragrant smell to God. So, ain't nothing like the smell of bacon when you wake up. You ever just be asleep and you get a smell of that glory? Ooh, you get that glory whiff. I like a smell of bacon. Y para mi gente latina, that smell like unos chilaquiles. Ooh, hallelujah. What's that? That's just a salty, crispy, next level. But you smell that bacon, you're like, man, that's a good sniff. God says that your offering is a fragrant smell to God. When you honor God, your tithe and offering, it's like an aroma in heaven to God. And he says, that's a beautiful thing. Then the next verse says this. It says, and my God, say my God, will meet all your needs according to his riches and his glory. Why? Because I'm just serving up an offering to you, God, this morning. Come on, somebody. Amen, 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 amen. All right, I got to wrap this up. Number six, because luego tengo que predicar en español el servicio que entra. Number six, everything you give, I got to like turn the switch, okay? You can play. Go ahead, bro, you can play. Number six, everything you give is stored up in heaven. Say with me, I'm storing treasures in heaven. Scripture says like this. It says 1 Timothy chapter 6, 18 and 9 says, tell them to use their money to do good in the hood. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always be ready to share with others. Verse 19, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. He says, we're storing up treasure. You're storing up treasure. The love of money, people say, money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. People are evil. And if you have a bad heart, you'll do bad things with it. But money's a tool. Money's like a hammer. You can build a church or you can build a crack house. It just reveals what's in your heart. I just believe that if you have a good heart, why not honor God so that God can bring more resource with the people with good hearts, not the people with bad hearts. Say amen. But we store treasures in heaven. Say heaven. It says, store up your treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:20, store up treasures in heaven where it says moth and vermin don't destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. Say with me, treasures in heaven. And so I got to tell the story. It's my story. It's called The Ghetto of Heaven. If you never heard the story, you're going to be blessed. If you have, you'll be blessed again. It's my story. Okay, so anyway, copyrights, trademark, all that stuff. Is the story goes, a guy dies, and when he gets to heaven, the Bible says that he prepares a place for us. And so the guy dies, and he checks his name, and he's like, oh, wow, your name is in the book of life. Come on in. Peter walks into the pearly gates. I don't know why it's always Peter, but Peter walks into the pearly gates. And when he walks in, he goes, I'm going to take you to your house. So he sees this big old house. Right when he walks in, it's on a hill, and it's huge, and it has dolphins in the pool. And he's like, is this my house? He's like, no, this is Billy Graham's house. Keep walking down. He goes, oh, wow, Billy Graham really gave a lot. And he goes to the next house, and this other house is nice, not as big as the first one, but it's nice, and it has a golf course on the left side, and then it has those little horses, you know, those little ones, like the small ones that run, and they're running, you know. And the guy goes, is this my house? He goes, no, that's Pastor Josiah's house. I was like, yeah, come on. So the guy keeps walking. That's my It's my story. I can make up whatever. So he keeps walking, and then he starts getting to like the scary part of heaven. It's like the ghetto of heaven. He's like, what? Why? He's like, windows are broken. He's like, what, my God? Yeah. Yo, hey, call some angels, bro. You know what I mean? So it's like, and then he gets to this place, and all there is like wooden studs, like nothing's built. And Peter says, here's your house. He says, here's your house. And he's like, what? Why is this my house? And Peter says, that's all we could build with what you sent up here. I was like, help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord. I love it, okay. Now, there's no ghetto in heaven. Calm down. But the point is this. What are you building in heaven? I thank God for investments. I'm all about it. Portfolio, stocks, real estate, rental properties, commercial real estate, syndications. I'm invested in all that. But the only way you deposit into heaven is by giving to build his house. That's it, the local church. And I say this respectfully, but you're like, well, I support all the rescue dogs. That's a wonderful thing, but that's not eternal giving. Eternal giving is his church, his local. Jesus died for his church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. The church is the hope of the world. Nothing substitute for the tithe of, he says, bring it to his house. Come on, somebody, say amen. Say amen. It is unto the Lord, and it's worship to God, and that's what builds his house. Point seven, and I'm done. Placing God first begins with tithing. Say with me, tithing. And so how do you put God first in your finances? It's by tithing. It's the first 10% of our income that belongs to him. The Bible says we don't give it, we bring it to him because it's his. There's only two things that are the Lord's in the Bible. Well, there's a lot, but two things he names out. One is revenge. He says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. He says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. And what he means by that is it belongs to him. The second thing is the tithe is his. And so we got to make sure that we honor him with that. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Turn it down a little bit, guys, if you can. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. It says, bring the what? The whole tithe. Someone say the whole tithe. Didn't say half the tithe, the whole tithe, into my house, into my storehouse. That's the house of God. That there may be what? Food where? In my house. It says, and test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you don't have room enough to receive it. So everybody look at me. Look at me real quick. He says the whole tithe. Why do you say the whole tithe? Because statistics say that only 9% of actual Christians tithe. And yeah, that means 91% are living outside of that blessing in that area. And that's heartbreak. It's a heartbreak because God says the whole tithe, because anything you give that isn't the whole tithe hasn't even fulfilled that requirement. It is God, I bring it to you. And then God says, he says, test me. I dare you and see if I'll not throw up the floodgates of heaven. There was an atheist, a friend of mine. He's actually a minister now of the gospel. He was an atheist. He did not believe in God. You know what he did? He found this verse and he says, this I'm gonna see if God's real. He was a tithing atheist. And he said, I'm gonna tithe, I'm gonna see if God is real. Well, today he's a minister of the gospel. Because he's like, God's real, man. Tithing led him to the Lord. Now, you do with that what you want, but that's what the Bible says. Test me, the Lord says, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven. He got saved through tithing, okay? Why? Because it is a trust thing. Last thing I'll say is this, my perspective on tithing. You ever seen that show Shark Tank? Okay, Shark Tank. And, you know, they go up there and they do the presentation and then, blah, blah, you know, and our business. Yeah. I love it. My kids, all the time, I always press pause and go, what would you do? I'm raising up entrepreneurs. Come on, so what would you do? You know, they're like, I want to take the deal. I said, that's a good idea. Don't take it. Let's watch what happens. And so everybody always wants, you know, Kevin O'Leary or Mr. Wonderful or they want Mark Cuban. Yeah, Mark Cuban. And they'll come and they'll say, I'm willing to give, you know, 4% or 5% of my company for $300,000. And they're like, you want for 5%? And they'll say this, they'll say, 5% just doesn't interest me. Doesn't interest me. They're like, I need more equity. And here's why they say, because they say, I know my contacts, I know my team, I know how to scale this thing, I'm gonna make it bigger. And that's what they say, because they know their value, okay? This is what we do with God. We say, God, I'll give you 3%. God's like, 3% just doesn't interest me. And God says, because the Lord says, he knows his contacts, he knows his marketing, he knows his doors he can open. Come on, somebody. God set the terms. I didn't write the Bible, but he says 10%, he's interested in that. And so when you tithe, this is how my mind works, because I have an entrepreneurial mind. This is my business acumen. I go, God, you're a 10% owner in the company called Josiah Silver. And if God is a 10% owner, whatever he's a part of will not go under. You ought to clap right there. You ought to clap right there. He is a partner in this company. Amen. It is a mentality. And God says, then I'll be a part of that. This is what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 23. The Living Bible says this. The purpose of tithing. The purpose of tithing. Someone say the purpose. Is to teach you to always what? Put God where? First in your life. This is what the Bible says, and this is where we honor him. That is why the founders of the greatest nation in the world, America, okay? And if you're like, I don't like America, try another nation. Let me know how that works out for you. I'll welcome you back later, okay? Yeah. The greatest nation in the world, the most powerful nation, who was founded as a Christian nation, and yeah, it's turning, but not on my dime. We're going to win souls to Christ. We're going to bring this back to Jesus Christ and bring revival. Say amen, okay? But that is why the founders, the Christian founders of this nation, when they printed money, they put these words on every dollar bill. In we trust. They put it. Why did they do that? Because they knew our humanity has a propensity to trust money. They should need to put them on credit cards too, by the way. Anyway, you should God we trust, but anyhow. But they put it on there because they said, this world needs to know that the provider of everything is God. When you trust God in this area, it is a test. Money is a test. Pass the test. If God can trust you with finances, he can trust you with true riches.